Hi, I'm Stuart Spinks and welcome to episode 295 of my podcast, Beekeeping Short and Sweet. Well, beekeepers everywhere are starting to get a little twitchy. The sun's been shining, the bees have been flying, and locally, oilseed rape has started to flower. Now might not necessarily be the time to add all those supers. Stay tuned and I'll explain why. Short and Sweet, a beekeeping podcast for the inquisitive beekeeper with a short attention span. A beekeeper, in fact, just like me. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Healthy Bees, Heavy Hives, a new book on beekeeping today with a focus on helping you maximise your yields and, hopefully, increasing profitability in beekeeping. Featuring clear diagrams and beautiful photographs that complement a relaxed and humorous writing style, which is both enjoyable and informative to read. Available now at Northern Bee Books, Amazon, and all good bookstores, both online and in your high street. You'll find links in today's podcast notes. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. And from this week moving forward, I'm going to try something slightly different, and I hope you'll bear with me while I kind of experiment with you all. What I'm trying to do from this point on is to use bullet points to identify things that I'd like to talk about. I really don't want to get caught out by waffling needlessly, as those of you that have seen me on my videos and in our Coaching Plus groups will know I'm able to do quite easily. However, I figured that rather than trying to write out a script each week and stick to that, it might be quite nice for you to just get my views as they come to me with one or two bullet points. And so, with that in mind, this week we're going to give it a go. I hope that we'll be able to get some more guests on. And those guests, I hope, will vary from very experienced bee farmers, experts in the field of a particular part of beekeeping. That might be disease, it might be honey production, that kind of thing. But also, I think I'd like to see if I can persuade a beginner beekeeper to come on and have a chat with me about their beekeeping and how they see their beekeeping progressing, and talk about some of the trials and challenges that maybe a beginner beekeeper is having. Because I think with so many other beginner beekeepers listening to the podcast, it would be quite nice for you to hear that other people are actually struggling with the same kind of questions. So that's for the future, but for now, I'm going to stick with my prompt list and we'll see how we get on. And if it doesn't work out well, then I'll revert back to sitting down and typing out a few pages of A4 text so that I've got a script to stick to. As usual, I'm going to kick off with the weather, and it's been quite interesting recently. We've had a little bit more drier weather in between some of the wet spells, but it has generally, I think, been a little drier, and we've had some quite warm spells as well, and that's allowed the oilseed rape locally to really get going, and that started to flower. But I'll talk some more about that shortly. But we have hit a little bit of a chilly patch, and this last week, certainly yesterday, there was a very cool breeze blowing, cold in fact. And I'm not sure that the bees would have been out flying a huge amount, because they'd have needed to be inside the hive protecting the brood that no doubt is expanding in an awful lot of colonies. So with that in mind, and looking at the weather forecast moving forward, it does appear that this next week, for me here in Norwich and with our apiary sites scattered around this general location, it's going to stay quite cool. In fact, according to the forecasts that I've seen, it's only going to get up to about 10 or 12 degrees Celsius. And that's for the first 3 or 4 days of the week. But then at the weekend, it does look as if the temperature is going to pop up a little bit to maybe 15 degrees. Now, with all of that said, you have to remember that maybe around lunchtime, if you're in a sheltered area, even though the maximum temperature might be 11 degrees, you could find yourself with a nice little warm period where you could drop into your beehive, have a quick look, and be out again before it turns cold again. So there are opportunities, even though the maximum temperature forecast might not be what I would term t-shirt weather, there are opportunities for you to maybe pop in and have a little look. But again, I would say just be cautious with that. So the weather forecast moving beyond next week does look as if it's going to be a lot warmer than it has been of late. So I'm hopeful that we might start to get opportunities to get round all of our beehives. And then, of course, we're into April. So this month of March has shot past quite quickly. Well, that's the weather. And thank goodness, actually, that it is still a little cool, because we have so much work still to do. I'm kind of given up on the idea of trying to catch up, and I'm just going to take things as they come. We're going to get ourselves ready for the season ahead with all of the work that we've got, and just not worry about what's happening. One of the big things that we have at the moment is a challenge with our unit here in Norwich. We've got a situation where our landlords got a little bit fussy recently and started asking for proof of various actions and certificates and the like, and particularly things like fire extinguishers. So we've had to have our fire extinguishers serviced. I guess all of this is really something that we should have nailed down on an annual contract, so we get a servicing agreement. And that's kind of where I've headed with it all. We've just, because there's only me in the unit, really, I mean, Steph's there and helps out, but generally neither of us are at the unit for any length of time, so it's never been something that we've particularly concentrated on. Anyway, landlords want to see fire extinguisher servicing agreements. They've also asked that we have our roller shutters serviced annually, so that's another job. And of course, this is all tied in with the contract that we have, so there are clauses in the contract that kind of state that it's our responsibility. So we have to have the roller shutter serviced, and also apparently every 5 years we have to have our electrical systems tested. And that's something that's on the cards for us for the next few months, I think. We have to get that booked in. So there's quite a lot that's kind of been pushed our way that we need to address, but we're well underway with getting those jobs done. More importantly, though, I'm trying to build a new office in the unit so that we can get all of our computer work done there rather than sitting here at home in my tiny little office. I also want that office to be the place that I can do my microscopy work, and I think that that's going to really help to be able to have the microscope set up without having to pull it out of its case, set it up, pack it away again, and all the peripheral bits and pieces that you have with it. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, when I say I'm looking to get this office built, of course, I'm not building it myself. I have a friend who is a very accomplished builder plasterer, and I think I've managed to twist his arm sufficiently to get him to come along and help. But of course, that means we've needed to empty out one part of the unit so that we can get the walls built, and then we need to get an electrician in to fit some sockets and move the lighting around. And so that's all being planned currently, and hopefully next week we'll have a visit and get that underway. One of the things I have had to do is move our warm room. Now, this is an old cold store from a delicatessen that we collected probably a couple of years ago now. And to be honest, it's far too big. Well, it it was far too big. We've now reduced it in size, so it's a bit smaller and we're more able to work around it. But we had to move that, and wouldn't you believe it, because it's sectional, as we were moving it around, one of the ceiling sections fell down and whacked me on the head. Needless to say, no damage done. Maybe knocked a bit of sense into me, perhaps. But that was the only moment that we had with it. Everything else went really well. So the warm room has been moved. And, of course, one of the discoveries I've made is that there are more false widow spiders. Now, go online and Google false widow spider, and you'll see the kind of thing that we've been discovering. They're not the nicest of things, and they look, well, they just look nasty. And I'm sorry for anyone out there who likes spiders and finds them fascinating. I'm afraid it's not something that I'm particularly drawn to, I have to say. So we've had to deal with some more of those. And I suspect where we've got to move all this stock out, there's going to be more of these false widow spiders to have to deal with. But hey ho, we'll tackle them as we find them. Also, and those of you that watch the Patreon videos will have seen our new piece of equipment, the wax honey separator. Well, I'm sad to say I've had to sell it. It's just not going to suit the plans that we have. I didn't get to use it at all. We set it up and tried to just get it spinning, and it looked as if it was going to be a really great piece of equipment. But because we're downsizing, we're just not going to have the need for it. So I'm delighted to say that I sold it to a fellow bee farmer for pretty much the same price that I paid for it, which is great. The price has gone up, and so he's got a bargain, and we've recovered pretty much all of the cash we paid for it. So I'm happy for that. And we've got new plans for extracting, and I'll talk some more about those as we get into our first kind of extraction period. But once again, I have some new equipment arriving, and hopefully with the downsized honey room, it will all fit in quite nicely, and finally we'll have a setup that I'm happy with. So thinking about the week ahead, we've really got to concentrate on getting this unit sorted, so I'm hoping the office will go in fairly soon. And in terms of the beekeeping, we've really got to focus on moving bees to the oilseed rape. Now, the reason we need to move the bees to the oilseed rape is not because there's a sudden nectar flow on, it's just getting the bees prepared, ready for that nectar flow. I suspect for us, it's still a week or two away, so there's no real panic, but my biggest concern really is this cold spell affecting the bees, and meaning that they don't have enough flying time and could potentially find themselves in a starvation situation. So we're going to be hefting the colonies, and obviously as we move them, we'll be lifting them and feeling the weight of them. And it's so obvious when you have a very light hive compared to the other hives that are still quite weighty. And it's really important that we focus on providing these colonies with sufficient food. We've started feeding some, and it's really important that we continue to feed them. Now, this will happen right up to the point that we start adding more boxes. Now, that could be brood boxes, it could be supers. But if we don't continue to feed, then we could have encouraged these colonies to develop more brood than their natural nectar flow might otherwise have allowed for. And if we suddenly shut off that food supply, then without a doubt they're going to struggle and could potentially starve. And that's not a situation we really want to have happen at the beginning of April. We've got the bees through the winter for the most part, and now we really don't want to see a situation where those colonies are growing and developing and then suddenly starve to death. So do have a look at your colonies. Make sure that they have plenty of food. Now, I'm not advocating inspections. I'm just saying have a look at the colonies. Heft them. Make sure you've got flying bees. Have a look at the crown board. So take the roof off and have a little look through if you're on Nationals, the Porter B escape holes that most of the crown boards have cut into them. And if you're on maybe a Langstroth colony or a poly hive, most of those have clear cover boards or clear crown boards. And those are ideal for being able to look at the bees without actually disturbing them. And one good tip that you might want to consider, especially as we're heading towards the new season, is getting hold of what's termed a glass quilt. Now, if you have a national, then this is basically a crown board which has two glass panels in it. You may find them with polycarbonate panels in them, but they just replace the crown board and they allow you to look down into the colony through the winter months without actually disturbing them. And that would be a great piece of equipment to put on your wish list when you go to any of the sales. I know we've just had the beekeeping show, but we've got the BBKA Spring Convention coming up, so you might want to have a look in the sale area in the trade hall and see if anybody's got those for sale. But if not, add it to the list of equipment that you'd like to have. And if you've just got one or two beehives, then it's not going to be terribly expensive and it will allow you to check your bees through the winter without actually removing the crown board. Thinking about inspections, right now for me, it's really still too cold to carry out any of those inspections. And I suspect here in the UK for most beekeepers, apart from those odd moments around lunchtime when it warms up, if you're in a sheltered position, we're not really going to be getting into the beehives anytime soon. By that I mean in the next few days. Towards the end of this week, there may be an opportunity of a quick inspection, but unless you've really got a pressing need to get in there and inspect them, then I would keep it very short. And if you're going to look at all, then just have a very brief look to see if there are any eggs or brood and see what the food situation is and then close them down again. Just don't open them up too long because that disturbance really does put them under an awful lot of pressure. Something else you might want to do in the next week or so is to plan for replacement colonies if you haven't already. Where maybe you've been unfortunate enough to suffer from a lost colony over winter, just think about how you're going to replace that. Now, it might be that you can create an additional colony from those colonies that you have, if it's just the one colony that you've lost. If you only have one hive and you have lost that, I'm sorry for that, but you can always replace it by getting an order in with one of the many suppliers of nucleus colonies, but you will need to be quick because I suspect that stock will be limited fairly soon as more and more beekeepers discover that they've lost a colony and get online and place those orders. You can also get them, of course, from fellow beekeepers locally, so keep an eye out for anybody that might be advertising overwintered nukes for sale. As I mentioned, we really need to keep an eye on the weather. As soon as it warms up, personally, I'm going to get into those hives and carry out some inspections. Remember, this is the first inspection of a new season, so it's very, very quick. We're going to simply look for food and brood. It's that easy, really, and it's super quick. Don't hang around in the hive. Don't start looking for the queen. Just get in, check for brood, check for food, and close them up again. And I imagine that by the time I'm recording my next podcast, we should have seen a little bit of an easing of this cold weather. We should have some warmer days, and that chance to inspect should have arrived. And certainly I, for one, will be looking to get in and check the colonies that we've got. Well, I hope you'll forgive me my ramblings for this week, and I hope that all of your colonies have survived the winter and that you're ready to enjoy the new season ahead. Don't forget to check out my website, www.norfolk-honey.co.uk, and for my latest videos and podcasts with more updates, tips and techniques, it's the same Patreon page, www.patreon.com/NorfolkHoney. And remember, I'm Stuart Spinks, and that was Beekeeping Short and Sweet.